and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FU podcast for and by Owls fans, presented by FUOwlsNest.com. Oh, Kirk, man, brother, I didn't think we'd make it out of that one alive, but holy smokes, we pulled it out. Owls are victorious over, well, now 6-2 UTEP. Close game. 28-25 was the final in Paradise. Kirk, brother, how you doing, man?
Great. Just, you know, still trying to recover from my minor heart attack I had at the end of that UTEP game the other night.
What, was I the only one getting Marshall 2017 vibes? Had the game in hand, start to have some weird play calling, and then it much closer than it needed to be?
It was just, I mean, that's a good example. I didn't even think of that one. That's actually a really good example. I was having more Charlie Partridge vibes in my head because I started picturing us finding a way to lose the game. So just all those bad memories of those, you know, those 3 years of, you know, Wyoming, Rice, you know, name the game. And, you know, they were all filtering through. So it was good to hold on, but, you know, could have used without that cardiac arrest. And I know a lot of people lost a lot of bets in the last 5 minutes of that game too, for people who were on the Owls. So
yeah, sorry to all those people, but I feel like we might have known better, right? I mean, it's just like, you know, the two of us, we didn't really display a lot of confidence going into the game. I thought it was going to be one possession game at the end of the day. You know, we knew that we're going to be at home, and we knew that UTEP's strength of schedule was the second weakest in the nation, but it just didn't feel right. The whole week just kind of lacked hype, if you will, even for it being homecoming. And when you're playing at the time, they were the number one team in the West. You'd think that there would be a little more juice to the game. So in that sense, it kind of reminded me of Air Force this year, just flat. No one's really excited. Everyone is worried. And then the players didn't play that well. I mean, first quarter was a complete waste, don't you think?
I mean, it's kind of the pattern for the year. I mean, we've slow start after slow start. So, I mean, it's one thing we've been really consistent on this year is not getting off to a fast start, especially in the first half, first quarter specifically in most cases. But I mean, yeah, you bring up a good point. Just for, you know, for being a homecoming game, it definitely lacked, you know, excitement. The crowd was a little, you know, disappointing, I would say, for what, you know, a 6-1 football team coming in, conference game. I mean, it felt there should have been more. Whereas hopefully we make that up leading into next week before we get into Marshall. But yeah, it lacked that. You know, because I mean, you know, we got some of those big plays later in the game that kind of got the excitement going. But yeah, it was a good point. I mean, it just didn't have that feeling we should have been having going into that game.
Yeah, and that's even considering UTEP's strong rushing defense, which is still top five in the nation after they played us. Have the numbers here. 131 yards and 36 carries, not good. But the passing attack was even worse. 149 yards in the air. That's compared to UTEP's 328. Did not see that one coming. But I mean, are you on the boat where it's like a win is a win and we just try and learn and move on? Or is there like maybe an underlying issue that the team really needs to address?
You know, what I think is most disappointing is like that team, it looked like we were about to roll ahead, you know, 35-10, really put that game away. You know, we get that unnecessary 15-yard penalty after we get that first down, pushes back 15 yards, which, you know, at the time we still got the first down, but it's not like we were gashing them with yards all game. You know, the front seven, that, you know, we kind of got sold on coming into the game really showed up for UTEP. I mean, they controlled that line of scrimmage. We really, anything we got on offense, we really earned, probably minus that, you know, blown coverage at the end of the half there that we got. So, I mean, there were some, you know, getting a big play. I mean, going back to that play, if we don't hit that play, who knows what happens in that game? Because it really pushed us to have the momentum in the second half. You know, I would say hopefully what we come out of is hopefully that, you know, the team and the coaching staff learns from that last 5 minutes, you know, finish off the game, which Willie really has done a good job of doing most of these throughout his tenure so far, is he hasn't let off the gas pedal, and has put teams away when he's had the chance. You know, we haven't played a close game this year in our wins or our losses. So, you know, maybe that's a good thing that, you know, they found a way to pull a game out, you know, which really could be needed against Marshall this week. So, you know, I think those are hopefully the positives that can come out of that 5 minute fiasco towards the end. But I also think you have to give UTEP credit because, I mean, their kicker hit a perfect onside kick. You know, they hit on blown coverage. They had that quick drive. I mean, they did everything they could to make it close. So, I mean, they had the ball 30 seconds left with a chance to tie the game. So, I mean, they left it all on the field. So I think, you know, UTEP, I think, surprised us in the fact that, you know, they were 6-1, but, you know, good teams beat bad teams in who they're supposed to be. So, I mean, if they're an average team, they'd come in 3-3, whatever. So, I mean, I think they showed that they were, you know, they're deserving 6-1 team.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I just don't know if the win instills a lot of confidence going in to this weekend. Yet another week where we're playing a top team in Conference USA. It's becoming a weekly occurrence now because Charlotte was atop the East when we played them. UAB before that was atop the West. It's four straight games. We're playing the top team in a division. But hey, that's the gauntlet. In order to be the best, you have to beat the best. And I like how you mentioned that this kind of was our first close game, if you will. I wouldn't say we found a way to pull it out. We more like just found a way to just hold on with our lives. And it is kind of good that the team did display that they proved that they could do that. But I wish it didn't come to that point in the first place, man. Like you said, both of us being Tampa Owls, we know that Willie Taggart is cutthroat when it comes to putting teams away. I mean, he'll go for it on fourth down, up 14, just you know, and throw a bomb on that play with 3 minutes left, just to put the dagger in. So it's, I don't know. It doesn't give me a lot of confidence for Marshall. But hey, crazier things have happened. It's a rivalry game, that's for sure.
I mean, and that's the sad part, is that's what we were going for. I mean, we were in the situation to put that game out of reach, and, you know, it was 6 minutes left. We just didn't finish off that drive, and everything spiraled from there. You know, we just need to see more consistency for that offense. I think that's really the thing that, you know, we have to move forward, especially to beat Marshall. You know, you have to develop a consistent running game, because even like with Johnny Ford, it's like, it seems like most of his yardage comes, even like, what do you have? Yeah, not like 93 yards rushing. It's like most of it comes from like a big splash play. It's not 5 yards consistently, 6 yards consistently. It's a splash play and then a yard here, a yard there. And, you know, we're just not consistently doing anything well on offense.
That's a great segue, I think, to start talking about Marshall. And for that, I don't want to just talk about, you know, the X's and O's of the game, but I also want to talk about just the two programs and fan bases and the culture at the two universities kind of radiate, and how that there is a clash. So with that, you guys love him. You guys know him. We have Shane Marinelli from 24/7 Sports. He's going to be back. Shane, brother, how you doing, my man?
Hey, it's great to be here again, Jack. Was this like the third time this year? But yeah, it seems like, I think the points I've been on this year, we're just leading into big games, right? So, you know, headed in a cup before the season, headed in a conference play, and now arguably maybe the biggest home game in 3 years, 2 years. I just think when it's a little later in the season, that typically we've played Marshall in October. So this is the first time where, I mean, it's not for all the marbles. I think this last stretch, obviously, I think has a lot of difficult games in it, but man, this one would be huge. And just obviously, as long as you and I have been doing this, Jack, journalistic integrity or not, people don't like them around here.
Yeah, no shot, man. I'm not sure how much, shots across the bow you're getting in your mentions this week. But you know what? That's we love it. That's what we live for, especially this week. I know that the three of us, but Shane, especially you and myself, our opinions on Marshall are well documented, and it's well known over there in West Virginia as well. That being said, with everything leading up to this game, everything the last 8 years, everything that's on the line, with the division, with the conference championship in play, and it possibly, I mean, we'll see, it very well could be the last game between the two teams, because, you know, Marshall might even bolt for the Sun Belt after this year. We'll see. There's rumors. We don't know what's quite going on quite yet. I feel like there's just so much more on the line with this one. Guys, what do you think? Do you think this is the biggest FAU Marshall game that we have seen in the series history?
Yeah, I mean, for me, we got to think a lot of those early games. And on Owls 24/7, we're going to have a story where I kind of talk about the three biggest games this year and kind of relive a couple of them. You know, obviously last year was kind of, that was like the worst COVID kit game. There was a couple of those games in October where it meant a lot at the time, but, you know, FAU was kind of able to recover for it, especially in the 2019 with the whole referee thing. Marshall later did what they do best, and that's, you know, choke in a game late in the season. And, you know, then, you know, we had the win down here and Lane's first year that just had all types of crazy stuff in that game, and including Lane, you know, famously taking a 2-point conversion not to cover the spread, which, you know, made tons of headlines. So, you know, it's just been a fun series so far. I mean, we can even talk about who remembers the one where they reviewed a play and then Charlie let a bunch of time run off before calling a timeout. And then they scored, we get the ball backs, and remember Caleb Woods drops one like down there from Driscoll. I believe that was Charlie's last year. In this, it was just kind of a crazy ending. And then obviously the Rakeem Cato one where he launches, chucks one up down the field, gets him in field goal range, and they kick a game winner.
It definitely points towards that. I mean, you obviously could look back on 2017 because both teams were looking like they were heading towards a potential, you know, East Conference crown that year. And I feel like that game against Marshall kind of made everyone realize FAU was truly legit that year as well, even though we were kind of running through teams leading up to that game. But, you know, at that point, Marshall is still kind of looked at as the top of the Eastern Division. So I think that was important. But I think this one's oddly unique because, you know, like you said, there are other rumors that Marshall, ODU, and might book it to Sun Belt next year. So, I mean, it is kind of crazy. This could be the last one in between these two teams. And there's a lot on the line, obviously. It feels kind of like an elimination game in essence for the East Division. You know, obviously, if you lose, you could potentially rebound, but, you know, you're obviously going to be fighting an uphill battle, and you're going to lose your control in your own destiny. So I think with that said, I think it probably is, just with all those other underlying factors with it.
So most of the time when we talk about Marshall, we're going to talk about their offense. That's something we're going to do. And we've talked about Grant Wells, their quarterback, who's an impressive quarterback, no doubt about it. We've talked about him enough over the years. But something that stands out to me is their defense. And it's just how weird it is. Their passing defense is one of the best in the nation, ranked 9th, while their rushing defense is the 11th worst in the nation. And that worries me a little bit because our running game has been a bit inconsistent. We don't know who we're going to get. We know that we're going to try to throw Ford out there, but he hasn't been able to get those big, long, gashing runs that we've kind of expected him to get. And passing the ball is going to be, if we pass it like we did last weekend against UTEP, it's certainly not going to pass it against that herd pass defense. So I just don't have a lot of confidence right now. And just despite all the hype, despite the excitement leading up to this game, how this might be the most monumental Marshall FAU game ever. Just last week's game just makes me a bit worried. I'm a bit surprised the line is 1.5 in Marshall's favor. So Shane, Kirk, can you guys give me some type of remedy, some medicine that to make me feel somewhat better going into this one?
FAU runs the ball well versus teams that don't have good run defenses. And there are games that they've struggled in the run. They have good run defenses. It's not like we've run into the situation where FAU hasn't completely been able to run the ball against a team. You're like, well, you should be able to run the ball against a team. Those are the games we struggled. UAB, arguably the best front in Conference USA. Air Force, that's a game you had the ball for 15 minutes. Florida, you know, and even UTEP this week. I was a little skeptical of UTEP's front, but when we saw them in person, and I'm sure Kirk will agree, those dudes were big up front, and they were just as advertised. That front was really good, you know. So, and they still kind of grinded it out. They had some nice yards. I wish they got to the receivers a little earlier in that game. I thought that was effective, trying to get a little bit more horizontal on them. But they did a good job of keeping Nkosi in there and not, you know, zone reads. Marshall struggled as a team and almost gave up 300 yards on the ground to North Texas. You know, they played Navy this year, which kind of you think a triple option team would throw off your run numbers, kind of like it has FAU this year. If you take like FAU's game against Air Force out of the equation, the run defense is actually in the top half of the country. But Navy was terrible at the time. If you look at Marshall's kind of front numbers, they lead the conference in sacks, but 9 of those sacks came against Air Force, right? So I think it's not some of the numbers you really have to dig in. I just started doing some of my Marshall dig in today. And I think, you know, this week I'm going to do the most stats dig in I've done all year. And sometimes when you do that, you end up coming out with feeling like, you know, less about the game than you do going into it. But you look at some deeper in their numbers and it's like, and let's just be real, when FAU's offense runs the ball, everything else flows. We have to be able to run the ball. Our offense can't drop back. It's clear. It's our weakness this year. But when we run the ball, everything else kind of the other doors just kind of open for FAU.
What about you, Kirk? Is there anything stand out to you that you think that FAU really needs to do to be able to come out with a victory on Saturday?
I kind of look at Grant Wells. The guy tends to throw the ball to the other team. If he does that against us on Saturday, we got to catch him. Kind of like we did against UTEP this past week. Set our offense up on short fields. You know, I don't think we can miss those opportunities against Marshall. If we win the turnover battle, cause short fields. I know that's all cliche, but I mean, look at it. I mean, just look at his touchdown interception ratio. That's basically how MTSU beat Marshall. They ran up. I mean, they got jumped out to a huge lead because Marshall handed them the ball like 3 or 4 times in the first half. So if FAU can jump on them early, I think, which we haven't done on any team this year, is jump on them early. But if they can finally do that trend, I think that's really a big opportunity for us.
Yeah, if you look at Grant Wells' numbers, even against FIU, he was 20 of 25, which is great. His completion percent is high. It was only for a 184. And I've watched Marshall for a couple times this year. And there's some similarities to the UTEP offense. They're going to throw Corey Gamage the ball deep down the sideline, where the passing is going to be really short. So pretty much a go route where it's safe. Like it's either going to be incomplete, a pass interference, and they protect him. They protect Grant Wells. Kirk talked about his numbers. He's 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions this year. Throwing for a lot of yards and stuff, but he has a tendency to pick the ball off. Like you said, we got our hands on 2 this year, last week. So I ain't got to hand another one. The other problem is we can't, our corners tend to let the big one happen. They tend to get their hands on guys a little bit, you know? So you can't let that happen. They're going to, trust me, they're going to launch it to Corey Gamage and those receivers 10 times this game. That is their passing attack. And of course they're going to try and run the ball with, you know, they have a couple really impressive backs, but like I said, I have enough confidence in our run defense. They've been pretty good this year, you know, really since the Air Force game. No one in the conference or anyone with kind of a spread offense has run the ball versus us.
Yeah. And real quick, you know, we just talked about the run defense, but going back to the pass defense, you know, we still don't know about Deshaun Moss coming up to Saturday. I think he'll be good to go. Coach Taggart said he was probable all week. Coach Taggart doesn't really like to give away too much information, especially when it comes to injuries. But then going back to the run defense, Caleb Bryce out indefinitely, probably out for the year, guys, with that sling on his right arm, not looking good. But yeah, Grant Wells, Shane, I remember 2 years ago, you were the first one to say it, that he a little too much of a gunslinger, that he tends to kind of let the defense have too many easy opportunities for interceptions. And that's kind of been his MO for a while. So if we're able to hold on to the ball, shout out Smoke for finally holding on to an interception. That was great to see. Then going back to what Kirk was saying, it is cliche, but it could work in our favor. And I know if that's the case, then I'm going to be all over Twitter, happy as a clam, dropping my videos and GIFs, laughing at Marshall fans. And that kind of brings me to something I wanted to ask you guys. This is something that I feel like FAU, we've always kind of felt. We never really liked Marshall because it would always beat us. We've only beaten them once. But I feel like personally there was more than that. They always had this snobbish attitude. You see it from Southern Miss as well. So Shane, and we talked about how, you know, we're so used to getting comments from Marshall fans every day on our Twitter, but especially this week. Why do you think that now, after for years they've been saying this isn't a rivalry, why do you think now they hate us so much and going out of their way to display that? Is it something as simple as
win Florida schools have been appearing and passing them their entire existence?
UCF, for example. Yep, I mean,
all Marshall battles. You know what? And don't say I was rival. I mean, I was peeking on a Marshall message board today. I mean, there was three comments about how FAU and FIU do not belong in FBS. So that's where a lot of their fans head are still at. But it's just salt. I mean, they are what they are as a program. Yeah, they're a nice program for what they are. And the Sun Belt's fine for them. The Sun Belt's a good place for schools that have no higher aspirations and just want to go in a nice little league and play their nice little, you know, Monday night games, right? Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of weeknight games. But yeah, you play on Tuesday. It's good for you. You're something for people to gamble on Tuesdays. And you know what? That's good. That's where you belong as a program. But I also think there's another thing, you know, with it. They recruit Florida very heavily. So that's, you know, always been kind of their MO. Doc Holliday kind of brought a lot of that, but you know, he was at Florida for a long time. And you know, now they still have, and you gotta remember they have some of our old staff members. And you know, where Trickett is and you know, Lance Guidry are there now. And, you know, so it just adds more heat to this. But I think they've never accepted FAU in this conference, despite FAU having the rings.
Yeah, and I wonder why they don't feel that way, not just about Florida schools, but also, you know, Texas schools like UTSA or really just any newer program, mainly
let me ask urban you this.
Areas with larger
let me ask you this.
Media markets. What's up?
A girl leaves you. She dates another guy. How many people are out there saying, yeah, that guy's better than me?
Yeah, that's how I feel. I mean,
that's really what they are. They are just they are just the other, and they're never going to admit the new guy is better.
And as someone that's been dealing with Jack Grealish leaving Aston Villa for Manchester City, I can 110% say, yeah, I get that feeling. It's like, why am I going to want to be friends with that ex? And if it keeps happening to Marshall and Southern Miss time and time and time again, I understand their bitterness, but sorry about it. Like you said, Sun Belt works out great for them. Sun Belt has mostly rural universities in Lafayette, Louisiana, Conway, South Carolina, so on and so forth, Boone, North Carolina. Works out great for Marshall. Georgia State doesn't really fit in the Sun Belt, if you ask me. Old Dominion doesn't really fit in the Sun Belt, if you ask me. But that being said, breaking news. It might be the first time you guys hear this, Kirk and Shane, but Brett McMurphy just tweeted 5 minutes ago that Liberty, New Mexico State, Jacksonville State, and Sam Houston State are likely to join Conference USA as all sport members. So it's not like Marshall has a good home in Conference USA, for that matter. Looks like only Texas El Paso wins on that boat, with New Mexico State being so close to them. They're no longer on that geographical island like we talked about last week. So it is a good move for them. Great, happy for it, but they can't stop talking about us. They love to say that they're 7-1 against us and then call us irrelevant. But I mean, Shane, Kirk, I mean, you guys have seen it. They would hang a banner on being 7-1 against us if they could. That's their only accomplishment in the last decade. Is that too much? Is that too far?
No. I mean, it's the truth. They have. I mean,
that's fair.
You know, it's just the truth. It gets bad when they get on the fans, and I'm going to say this. You know, I'm going to have the Tom Bragg, the 24/7 representative on the Owls 24/7 podcast later this week, and you know, and he's really friendly about it actually, but my thing is, and you know, they always get on the attendance. Well, you know what? Any fans want to respond to that this year? Marshall's had a program for over 100 years. If in 100 years we only increase our attendance, what, 5,000 more? You can make jokes at us. So, but you know, them kind of bragging about, they brag about their attendance like they get 42,000 a game.
But they don't. That's the thing. It's what I never understood about Conference USA teams, again, like Southern Miss and Marshall, is that you're only averaging like 27,000 fans. Like, On a good day, not even average, on a good day. I mean, we all saw Marshall's attendance last week against FIU, you know, 2 days right after they announced they're going to the Sun Belt. It was supposed to be a raw, great day for Marshall, and it was a complete dud. Complete dud. Half the stadium wasn't full. A third of the stadium was full is what I would say. So it really doesn't matter. Congrats on being the tallest midget. You're still a midget. There are teams in this country that pull 100,000 fans at a game and who've been playing football probably just as long as Marshall, if not even less, and they can pull in more. I mean, I've talked to Trace. You guys know Trace. He's on Twitter. He's a good guy as well. He says, well, look at the Knoxville is different from Huntington. You know, there are things that Knoxville has or Ann Arbor has that it's in its favor that Huntington doesn't. But you never see them think that way when it comes to things that FEU might have against our favor. So it was just funny when they were complaining over the weekend about how their attendance was poor because of weather, or a not exciting opponent, or because it was Halloween. And we've been saying this entire time that that's the exact issue for FAU as well. There's always a lightning delay for hours. There's always a heat index above 100 degrees and so on and so forth. So that's just really funny to see them using some excuses. So real quick, guys, I want to get some predictions out of y'all. Kirk, I want to start with you, brother. Prediction for the Saturday, 6:00 in Paradise. What do you got?
I mean, it's just so early on a Monday after the game when we're recording this. So I'll just do the homer pick. I think FAU squeaks out a win 28-24.
Respectable. Shane, what about you, brother?
Can I plead the fifth on a Monday? I'm sorry, guys. I really have to dig in. I'm going to plead it. I truly don't know yet. I think, and this is just truly honest, I'm not just doing this. I think it's funny. I think I texted someone. I think, Kirk, I even think it was you. I said, gun to my head, I couldn't give you a prediction, right? This was me thinking about the game and start doing a little bit of, you know, just basic, your standard research on it. And I said, gun to my head, I'll just say right now where I'm feeling. FAU is at home. Nkosi Perry hasn't thrown an interception at home. Grant Wells throws picks. That's our favor. FAU's offense works versus teams we can run the ball against. Marshall's defense is susceptible to run the ball. So, again, you know, we were 1-for-15 on third down against UTEP, which was surprising because coming into that game, in my story I love to do every week, kind of the numbers to know thing, I jinxed us. We were like one of the best in the country. I believe we were 11th. I have to go look. We were great. We were one of the best in the country on third down coming into this game. And I even think after this game, we're still 34th or something like that. So, you know, going 1-for-15, I don't think they have a 1-for-15 performance again. And I think Marshall's run defense is enough that will allow us to keep drives going. But I got to dig into it. I do worry about their running back combo. It's very good. And just sometimes our ability, you know, our corners sometimes just, like I said, they're going to throw it up to those receivers and Wells might not even care if one or two get picked off. They're going to hope that three or four of them work. And sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, especially in a game like this. And unfortunately, I definitely think that they will get some of those. Cornerback play has worried me a little bit. I mean, they're either giving up a big play or a pass interference. And again, with Deshaun Moss most likely out, I think we might see repeat performance with that. So I'm going to say, oh, God, I'm going to hate myself. 31-21 Marshall. I think they're going to get a garbage time touchdown or something, like, you know, a pick six with like 30 seconds left. That would just be the dagger. And Twitter will not be fun for a week after that. That's what I think. But God, 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 I hope I'm wrong, because Twitter will be great if we pull it off. So, hey, that being said, Shane, great seeing you, man. Thanks so much for taking time to come on. You're right. You are on for all the big games, but knowing the type of content we get sent our way this week, I really wanted you on for this one. So thank you so much, man. And Kirk, thanks again. Kirk and I are both sad that the Bucks were so close to coming back against the Saints, but couldn't pull it off. But here we are. So that all being said, guys, you already know the deal. This will go up on YouTube and on FUOwlsNest.com on Tuesday, and then everywhere else, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, on Wednesday. So thanks again for following. Yeah, hopefully we can do it, guys. Hopefully we'll be back next week on top of the East Division yet again. If not, mission failure. We'll see. All right. Thanks, guys. Go Owls.